Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Indeed it is.
Yes, it is. I love how like now whenever we say it, we are like, yes. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Actually, that's the thing you're here for. That's what you're tuning in for. Hi.
Instead of when we're just like, hi, over Zoom and add it in later.
I know, which is so weird. You know what? I want to know if the listeners can... Like, surely they can tell the difference, right? Because it was like months and months of us using the same two, like, beginning, opening.
Yeah. Did you see the comments on a recent What's in the News post on Instagram that asked where the ding was after the music in the beginning?
Again.
I totally forgot to add the ding, and they were like, I dance along to it, and there was no ding, and I was just like... That was my bad. Forgot to add the ding. But I thought that was so funny that a listener was like, wait, what the fuck? Where's the ding?
You want to know something? And I'm surprised we didn't get any notes on this.
What?
There was one time that I didn't realize it until it was up that I left out the beginning music altogether.
Really?
Yeah. Like I forgot.
And they get on me about a ding and you left out the music entirely? Yeah. Wow.
I mean, wow. If you know which episode that is, please hit us up because I may have actually gone and up. No, I didn't. I was thinking about going and updating the episode, but it'd already been up for like half the day and I was like, I don't want to lose all the analytics. So
yeah.
And I was like, no one had said anything. How bad could it be? So
but then Madigan misses one measly ding and it's like, where's my jam? I'm sorry.
Listen, and the ding does tie it all together.
It really does. And I was thinking about that when I was editing last week. I was like, gotta add my dings. Mm-hmm. Gotta do it. Well, what should we get started with today?
Well, both of mine are not terrible things. Do you have anything that's like devastating?
No, honestly, both of mine I feel like are good news-ish things.
Okay.
For the most part. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was like super, super recent. And I was reading about it literally like an hour before I came here. And that is that the DOJ is suing Texas over the abortion law.
Hey.
Exactly. So the Biden Justice Department sued the state of Texas on Thursday over its 6-week abortion ban, saying that the law is unconstitutional. At a news conference in Washington, Attorney General Merrick Garland said the Texas law's unprecedented design seeks to, quote, prevent women from exercising their constitutional rights by thwarting judicial review for as long as possible. The act is clearly unconstitutional under longstanding Supreme Court precedent. He also made a point to say that this law should scare every American, no matter where you are on the party line, because it could give other states the idea to then attack other constitutional rights, which
obviously,
I think is a really good point.
Yeah, I mean,
to
it's like
tie that in.
You've cracked this door open, and that's kind of what we were saying. I mean, we kept it within the realm of reproductive rights when we discussed this, but it is still a slippery slope, just in general, to start like not only legislating bodies in this way, but also kind of deputizing other Americans to put a bounty on someone else's head.
Yeah, for and something to like me, this. It also seems kind of like a political loophole as well, because they're kind of going under and to the side of, you know, Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court, and they're kind of finding this loophole way to get what they want. And I feel like that is. That could be used as like a blueprint for other people that want to get things done, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know? So it's kind of undermining the Supreme Court's ruling, which is super shady. The Justice Department wants a judgment declaring the Texas abortion ban invalid, as well as, quote, a preliminary and permanent injunction against the state of Texas, including all of its officers, employees, and agents, including private parties who would enforce the abortion ban. So they're kind of, that to me almost sounds like they're playing at their own game. Like if you are trying to thwart people from getting, you know, abortions and other reproductive health care, we will step in and take care of it, you know? The DOJ also argued in the suit that the U.S. may sue a state to vindicate the rights of individuals when a state infringes on rights protected by the Constitution, citing the Take Care Clause of the Constitution, which says the president has the duty to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. So that's kind of the that's what's said in the suit of why they are suing the state of Texas for all of this. Garland also pledged to protect abortion clinics in Texas by enforcing a federal law that prohibits making threats against patients seeking reproductive health care services and obstructing clinic entrances. So all in all, a very good thing that that the DOJ is stepping in.
I'm actually surprised that they're stepping in, you know, because I know that this issue, I was listening to the Daily Zeitgeist and they were talking about how or why at the time that they'd recorded, like, politicians, Democrats weren't stepping in and being more forceful in their objection to this. And a lot of it is very political in terms of we're gearing up for the midterms, yeah. right? And if we can keep people mad about something like this, you can get them to turn up and vote, right? Like,
yeah.
So if you take care of a problem like this, then, you know, the outrage machine dies and then people are less likely to show up and vote for you.
Or maybe because you're stepping in and fixing it, mm-hmm. maybe people will step in and want to vote for you. I'm hoping that that's, you know, what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, the ACLU was going to file a lawsuit and there were a bunch of other, you know, human rights groups that were coming forward that were wanting to set up lawsuits against this abortion ban. But it said a lot to me that President Biden is taking this issue so seriously. There was a video of, what's her name? Jen Pansky, his spokesperson lady.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
I never know how to say
her name is Jen. She has red hair. She's cute.
Yes.
She talks the talk for Biden. But she was in a press conference or whatever, and somebody was asking her, like, how does the president, as a Catholic man,
mm-hmm. I saw
have these, you know, standings? Yeah. And I just loved her response. It's like, yes, he is a Catholic man, but he still believes in everybody's right to choose what they're going to do with their bodies.
Right.
And that to me was also a huge moment, being raised Catholic and literally being called a baby killer because my parents wanted to vote for, I can't remember if it was John Kerry or Al Gore. It was Al Gore. That was the one. And seeing somebody who is a very, very prominent Catholic say that he can separate his own religious beliefs and still see that banning abortion is dangerous and wrong. And I think a lot of people,
or at least
who are,
his administration does.
Right. But I've heard him say things too, mm-hmm. like he, and I've read a few quotes where he really does seem to take a very strong stance against this Texas ban. I hope that that's true. But the optics of it still, I think, are really
right.
important because
it is important.
People who mm-hmm. are, you know, very, very staunchly religious have a really hard time separating that with their political views or laws and things like that. So I hope that that's an example for people to see that, like, you can be a good Catholic and still understand why being pro-choice is the way to go.
Well, and still understand choice. That's the thing. You don't
exactly.
have to be pro-abortion to
exactly.
be pro-choice. No one is forcing you to go get one, right?
Yeah.
But you have to understand that you don't get to make that decision for other people.
Yeah.
Because there are a variety of reasons, of course, that somebody would want or need to get an abortion. And
yeah.
It's not always, it's very important to talk about rape and incest, but it's not always rape and incest. Like, there's so many reasons.
There's so many valid mm-hmm. reasons,
and
no matter what it is.
People will find a way.
Yep.
They will find a way, or they will hurt themselves. Like,
yeah.
that is kind of, we've seen it over and over again. It's not safe to ban abortion. So,
yeah.
And it's been a difficult road for me. You know that I grew up very religious and my family still, like, there's no way that they are pro-choice.
Well,
you know?
Right. I mean, that was part of what is so amazing to me with the Biden administration, because I think that a lot of our past Catholic presidents and very religious presidents have had that same kind of standing where that's been their calling card to get, like, the religious votes
right.
and things like that. And the fact that I'm seeing some sort of separation between religion and politics in this administration is a very positive thing to me. I'm not
yeah.
saying that it's like, oh my God, they're the best ever, but
right.
like, to be able to see some sort of separation between the two is really satisfying to me.
At some point we should maybe do an episode or talk about how the right became so deeply entrenched with evangelical Christian beliefs, because
oh, totally.
Republicans weren't always anti-abortion. It
no.
was something that happened in, like, the 80s.
Well, and I talked about it a little bit when I did a Bad Girls episode on Phyllis Schlafly
yeah.
because she was such a huge part of it. And so I talked about the history of all of that a little bit, because what you're saying is true. The Republican Party was not always this, like, staunchly religious
right
kind of group.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed as the parties, I guess, like, what's the word I'm looking for? objectives.
Yeah,
change,
I was gonna say, I know exactly what you're trying to
say. Yeah, like they evolved to keep up with like whatever was like gonna be popular with that side, like being against the Equal Rights Agreement and things like that. Something that is so.
Well, they shifted to quote unquote family values.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they made the ERA be this thing that was like very anti-family mm-hmm. values. And then yeah. from that, it became, you know, the traditional family is that is, you know, a man and a woman, just like God intended. And then right. all this religious like.
Well, and that was also the same time as like the Jerry Falwells and the Jim yes. Bakers and like these big evangelical people became very closely tied to.
Political movements
and totally. Political figures and presidents, and like it just became like entrenched in our.
Oh my God. I just remembered a documentary that I watched on Netflix and now I can't remember what it's called. Oh my God, but it's so good. It's on Netflix. It's super good. Oh my God, I have to look this up. This is gonna drive me nuts. I wanna say it's called like, it's not The Pact. The Family. I think that's what it's called.
Mm. Nothing ever bad has happened when people have decided to call themselves The Family.
Right.
That's always turned out really well.
Okay, yeah. So it's called The Family, and it says, an enigmatic conservative Christian group known as The Family wields strong influence in Washington, D.C. in pursuit of its global ambitions. It is a crazy documentary.
Very cool. Oh, I started watching that.
Did you start it? Because like a guy like kind of shows up and is like, what is this? It's almost like a frat.
Yeah.
And they like all live in a house together, and they like do Bible studies all day, and then they go to these meetings, and they start talking about, like, it's all like a very secretive thing, but it's about like religion and like Christianity infiltrating our government. It is so good. It's a series. I think there's yes. like 4 episodes yeah. or something. It's really good. Highly recommended.
Well, let's do a sharp pivot.
Let's do it.
And talk about the Satanic Temple, shall we?
Because, oh my God, I love them.
Because they're coming in clutch for women. They're doing the dang thing, right?
Yes, they are.
So.
We go from Christianity to Satan worshipers. Let's do it.
So the Satanic Temple is challenging the abortion restrictions in Texas. So they are a religion, and contrary to popular belief, they don't actually worship Satan. But
yes,
that is the common like conception, right? Is like
yes.
that's what I mean for
They're
sure.
They're called the Church of Satan, and that's what I always
right, the
assumed.
The Satanic Temple, yes.
That, you know, the churches that are worshiping God, you know, I have an image of that. Mm-hmm. So in my head, they yes. would be worshiping Satan.
Absolutely. Same. Growing up, I was for sure like the scary, right? Like
yeah.
we're children of the 90s. It was just post Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
Like very scary. But
I was even scared of atheists as a kid. Like if you were like, an atheist. Oh. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that was the same in my head because of my crazy Catholic upbringing.
But the Satanic Temple is actually super, super cool. And they've done a lot of really cool stuff, especially for freedom of religion.
Yep.
Freedom of expression. They've done a lot of really, really cool stuff. So,
well, because they, I feel like they've been beaten down so much that they're like, no, we got to help the other guy as well.
But
you know,
it is part of their core tenants as well as,
yeah,
you know. So okay, so they said on their website that they stand, quote, ready to assist any of their members who want to fight this law. It said that it has lobbied the state for an exemption to the law under its own religious freedom law, the Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So the group said that if the state declines to provide the exemption, then it will seek judicial relief. So under the Satanic Temple's 7 fundamental tenets, the religion believes that one's body is subject to one's own will alone. So they're like this, it's part of their fundamental tenets, that mm-hmm. they're like, your body is yours. It's subject
you
to
do,
your
you want to
will.
Do with it.
So this law directly violates one of their core religious beliefs.
Right.
So it also believes that beliefs should conform to one's, quote, best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs.
Whoa. Am I joining the Church of Satan?
Right? I'm like, oh, okay. This sounds amazing.
Oh my God. I'm totally on board thus far.
So the religion announced last week that its lawyers had sent a letter to the FDA asking that its members have access to abortion medication without being subject to regulations. So it argues that its members should have access to the medications under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is the same act
right.
That allows Native Americans to get, or any religious organization to get drugs for specific rituals.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So the Satanic Temple,
kind of outside of the regular law.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, if taking peyote is part of your religion,
right,
then we have to, under this like Religious Protections Act, provide, like, allow you to do that. You're exempt from the law.
Perks of having your own religion that I never even thought of.
Yeah, I know. You're gonna pull a Scientology and just file for your own religion.
I mean, hey, the religion of Madigan coming to you in 2022.
Don't have just to pay taxes. Wait. Don't have to pay taxes.
I mean, hey.
So the Satanic Temple, if you're interested, is having a fundraiser to support reproductive freedom. So if you would like to contribute or learn more, you can visit thesatanictemple.com.
Are they having like an in-person fundraiser, like an event?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think
that it's would like be an fucking fun
fundraiser. Yeah,
that would be real. Like if there's like a carnival thrown to support reproductive rights, like I would be there. Yeah, that sounds so awesome.
I mean, they've done really cool things in the past as well. Like I can't remember; it might have also been Texas, but there was a state that wanted to have the tablets of the Ten Commandments in front of like a law building, like a government building.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to petition to have a statue of Baphomet also in front of the building. Because
I love it.
It's religion, right? You can't single out one religion over another.
Yeah, we should all have our religious statues in front of the law building then. Yeah, exactly. Well, I also have an update on Britney Spears' conservatorship. For any of you who are interested. So on Tuesday, Jamie Spears, Britney's father, filed a petition to end Britney Spears' conservatorship. And I do have to kind of clarify with that because that was what I read in an article. But then it kind of goes on to say that he doesn't really have the power to end her conservatorship.
It feels very misleading. And even in his kind of like statements or whatever, he's very like, I didn't do anything wrong, but is kind of the vibe.
Yeah, like, but after hearing her testimonies, all this kind of stuff, like he's claiming that's why he is withdrawing from the conservatorship, which is making a lot of people assume that the conservatorship is just going to be over, and that's not necessarily the case. Anyway, Britney's lawyer, Matthew S. Rosengart, has called this a massive legal victory and vindication for her. There is another hearing scheduled for September 29th, where they will be removing Jamie Spears as conservator. And they will also be temporarily lifting restrictions placed on her under the conservatorship, as well as transferring finances back to Britney as well, while all of this is being figured out. There is a California-based family law attorney named Christopher C. Melcher who was interviewed about this case, and he says that it was an interesting move for Jamie Spears to take himself out of the conservatorship at this moment. Apparently, the petition was not designed to end the conservatorship, but to eliminate Jamie first. Melcher goes on to say that ending the conservatorship is not up to Jamie. Only the court under Judge Brenda Penny can terminate it, and says that if Jamie was so moved by his daughter's testimony, he would be asking the court to terminate the conservatorship then, not asking to be removed from the conservatorship.
Yeah.
And Britney has asked not to go through another like mental health evaluation. So that could potentially, I don't know if that's going to kind of like throw a wrench into the whole situation, because they do, you know, her dad claims that if she were to go under some sort of psychiatric evaluation that she wouldn't pass and all this kind of stuff. So while it's great that her father, this horribly abusive man to her for her whole life, is no longer in charge of her affairs, it doesn't mean that she is freed. Her conservatorship is over, but it is still a really great first step, and hopefully her attorney is taking all this into consideration so that when they meet up again on September 29th, they can have a new game plan to be able to end the conservatorship as a whole.
Yeah, like I feel like I have two feelings about this that jump out at me right away. And one of them is that Jamie is trying to save face. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it feels like to me. He was under a lot of public scrutiny, can't handle that. Being the bad guy on that kind of scale, the kind of the vitriol and stuff he was getting. But from Britney Spears' point of view, it must, because your family is your family, right? And you're always going to feel a certain way emotionally about them. And I'm sure whether or not this has any real impact on her situation, it probably feels very good to her.
100%. Yeah. Like, I think this is still a really huge victory. I just think that the way that they're reporting it makes it super confusing, because it does sound like, well, if her dad's out of the way, then there's no conservatorship, but there are still other like legal hurdles they have to go through. But it is a very, very amazing time for Britney Spears to be able to get rid of her father's control over her. Have you seen all of the pictures of her posting on Instagram of just, this is my ass?
No.
It's so funny. Today she like posted this picture. Like, I don't know if somebody was claiming that like if there was like a photoshopped photo of her or something, but there was like a picture of her where she's like, this is my ass. And then she posts a video again where she's like completely naked. She's wearing a thong and it's like just the mirror, like in her bathroom. And she's like moving around. You can see her butt. She's like, this is my real butt. I'm like, I love you, because girl.
She hasn't been able to do any of this stuff for so long. Like, it's so cool that like she has agency now.
I know. You know? And I love, I mean, like, she is out there. She is an out there woman, and I love it. And I love the shade she throws on her Instagram. I love the nude pictures she posts on her Instagram. Like, you can really see the shift in her freedom within the last few months. And I really hope that that just continues for her.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, I have one final thing that I wanted to talk about today.
And oh my God, we're going to hit four topics in one mini? Oh my God.
We're really speeding through them right now.
I'm amazed with us right now.
So the former Georgia District Attorney, Jackie Johnson, who worked on the Ahmaud Arbery case, you might remember, that she has now been booked on charges linked to her alleged mishandling of that case. Because if you remember, she had a personal relationship with one of Ahmaud Arbery's murderers. Like, he had worked for her as an investigator. And so his family, Ahmaud Arbery's family, was like, no, 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 no. This is sketchy as hell. So she turned herself in to the Glynn County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday morning. And it was after a grand jury. It was after a grand jury had returned an indictment on counts of obstruction and violations of oath by a public officer last week.
Damn, I wasn't thinking that she was going to be like turning herself in. I just thought she was going to be like, maybe like, I don't know what the disbarment of a judge would look like, but I just figured it was going to be like she loses her job. I was not expecting you to say she turned herself in.
Right. Well, I mean, she was actually indicted, so it wasn't like they're criminal charges. It's not like these are like civil charges.
I know. Anything. I just wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm. So she was released from the Glynn County Detention Center on $10,000 bond. And state prosecutors allege that she used her position to delay arrests of the men who chased down and murdered Ahmaud Arbery.
100%.
She was the county's top prosecutor at the time whenever Arbery was shot last year. And one of the men, like I said, had worked for her as an investigator, Greg McMichael.
Yeah.
And I think he was the father. It was like a father, a son, and then a neighbor.
Yeah.
Who were involved in this. So the Georgia Attorney General, Chris Carr, sought the indictment after requesting an investigation of possible misconduct by local prosecutors who failed to bring charges. Because remember, like, there weren't any charges brought right away. Like, like all these cases go. It's like charges don't really come until a lot of public outcry.
Yeah.
So the indictment says that Jackie Johnson violated her oath by, quote, showing favor and affection to Greg McMichael and failing to treat Ahmaud Arbery and his family fairly and with dignity.
Yep.
It also says that she obstructed police by directing that Travis McMichael should not be placed under arrest. So the son. So she told the police, like, oh, you don't need to arrest him. Right. And then clearly we saw the video footage.
Yes, of what they actually did and why they most definitely all need to be arrested.
Yes.
Yeah, that really is affection. It's a funny strange word to use, but like it is, it's like she's protecting him. She's protecting the son.
And his son, yeah.
Because like, and particularly the son, because she knows that like, you know, the other guy is, you know, already getting some sort of heat. So she's like, let's just, you know, maybe I can do this for him. I don't know.
Right.
It's just
and
so
if I
gross.
Remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I think it was the son who actually shot Ahmaud Arbery.
I don't remember.
I think it was. I could be wrong. But that's what I recall.
Oh my God.
And yeah, affection is a strange term to use because you say affection and you think like romantic affection.
No, but like when you describe that, like I think that that's like a bizarre word to hear, but like it makes sense because she really was like taking care of them in a way.
It's a friendship, right? Yeah, like it's like you're protecting your friends. You're going to bat for your friends, right? Yeah. But she could face 1 to 5 years in prison if convicted of violating her oath of office. And the obstruction charge is a misdemeanor, which is punishable by up to 1 year in jail. So she is facing...
She's probably going to serve like a couple months and get out on good behavior if she's going to serve any time at all.
I mean, technically she's facing 2 to 6 years if you like combine. But you know how these things go.
Yeah.
It's Georgia. It's still Georgia. She's a white lady in Georgia.
Yeah.
So who knows?
She's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Either way, she's going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, and the Attorney General, Chris Carr in Georgia, is a Republican. And not to say that, you know, he didn't do this just because clearly this was something that was very wrong. Like, I think even a lot of people who are quote unquote anti-BLM watched the Ahmaud Arbery killing and couldn't argue that like this was clearly like...
They hunted him down.
Right.
Like, they hunted him down.
I'm not saying that the attorney general, I'm not saying...
is like a good guy.
Well, and I'm also not saying that like he is, this is wholly political for him, because maybe for real, he was like, no, that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
But I also do think that optically he had to do something.
Yeah.
So we'll see how harsh the actual punishment is. Yeah. I think the fact that she got out on $10,000 bond, which seems pretty low to me.
It does seem relatively low to me, but I always just think, I'm like, man, people just have $10,000 lying around to
probably
get out
not
of jail?
Liquid. They probably had to sell a car or something.
That's
true.
Man, would I just stay in jail at that point? I feel like if my family was like, we're going to sell this thing, I'd be like, just leave me here.
You know what? Actually, it's fine. Actually, I take that back. She, like, her family probably did have $10,000 lying around. Now that I'm thinking about, like...
Yeah, she's like a prosecutor, to, you know, like... Yeah.
Or a prosecutor, you're right. Sorry, not a judge.
She's doing well.
She's got $10,000 lying around. But yes, whenever I watch things and they're like, bail was set at $800,000 and he left the next day. And I'm like,
where the fuck did you get $800,000?
How many family members had to refinance their houses?
For real. Like, I don't think I even own enough things that could equal that amount of money.
I don't. $8,000. I'm $8,000. I don't. $800,000? No.
Fuck no.
I 100% do not.
Even $10,000, do I? I don't think that my... the things that I own would even get me that. I'd be fucked. I would just stay in jail.
You're like, I guess I'm going to get comfy.
I guess I better get comfy in jail with my bunkmate. What you going to do?
Oh, man. Our justice system is so fucked. It's so fucked. Anyway, that's not the point. This was a good news episode by and large. So
for real, I'm very impressed with the fact that, you know, it's like we're still talking about shitty things, but the fact that there's like good news with those shitty things.
Yeah.
It's great. And we covered 4 topics in a mini episode.
Feeling
I'm
pretty
blown
good.
Away right now.
Yeah.
We should feel really accomplished right now.
I do. I
Good.
Do.
Well, we always love hearing what you want us to talk about in our news episodes. So if there's anything that you would like us to focus on next week, go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We also have a Facebook business and group page. Go on the business page and leave us a review there, and then hop over to the group page and chat with your fellow listeners. And if you haven't already, we would greatly appreciate if you would leave us a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out so much, and it makes our day to read all of the nice things you have to say about us. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.